Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Following On podcast with myself, John Norman, and Steve Harmison, bringing you all the reaction to England's latest heavy win. This time over Bangladesh, they've gone 2 from 2. They're 2 points clear at the top of Group 1. And let's look at that. Net run rate might take them through, if anything else. Another dominating performance from England. Plenty to assess with myself, John Norman, and Steve Harmison here on Following On.
Story of the day.
Okay, Harmy, another punishing display. Tell you what, there isn't a team in world cricket that wants to play England right now. this time, coming up against Bangladesh, who won the toss, decided to bat first, which might be a little bit of a surprise. And Moeen Ali, once again, taking 2 wickets in the power play, 3 in total. Chris Wokes, 4 overs, going for 12 runs. Ridiculous. Good diving catch from Adil Rashid. Tamal Mills, 2 wickets in succession towards the end, as well as one in the middle. And really, Bangladesh, a bit like West Indies and a little bit like India against Pakistan, never, ever getting away from England or Pakistan. Livingston, another 2 wickets as well. And then when England was set a total of 125, never in doubt. They were 90 for one at the 10-over stage. Jason Roy taking Player of the Match awards, although not on Cricket Info, I saw. 61 from him. And yeah, absolutely fantastic stuff from England. I mean, what do you say? I mean, there's plenty to say. But first off, England have come up against two sides in West Indies and Bangladesh, completely different sides, played at different times of the day, but they have absolutely dominated both from ball one. There's plenty to take heart from in that, I would suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been fantastic. You mentioned net run rate at the start of the show. Net run rate is not coming into England. There's nobody touching England in this group, not in that form. And I can only see England getting better. I think the difference between England and Pakistan is Pakistan are a side who are evolving. They've got good cricketers, great cricketers. They've got a good team, so they've got a good team spirit. They've got an idea of the game plan they're trying to perform and do. But when it comes to the pressure situations of later on in the tournament, back into the group stage and then towards the eliminator, then can they crack under pressure? I don't think this England side will. I think this England side have got, they're a well-oiled machine who just keep pushing people aside. They're murdered the West Indies by, you know, and it wasn't even a contest, and this wasn't even a contest either. You know, 124, it wasn't a bad surface. It was a decent surface. It was probably a 160, 170, 65 surface. But to win with six overs to go, look, I think England are going to take some stopping in this group. I don't see anybody even in the group of death, because we've got all, you know, test playing nations in this group. I just don't see anybody getting anywhere near close to England. They've got all bases covered. And if they really wanted to, they could strengthen their bowling, because their batting doesn't seem to... Their batting hasn't had the game time that they would like. And I still think they're one too many heavy in the batting department. Not for me. I just think this team is... whoever England put out, the confidence and the aura factor is just too big for the opposition at the minute.
And what about Liam Livingstone as well? You make mention of the fact they may be one batsman heavy, but if he keeps taking wickets, you know, he only needs to bowl two or three overs. He has come in, and as things stand, and again, it has been very straightforward so far. There will be big challenges to come. Australia on Saturday. Likelihood is England will face India in the semi-finals if results continue as you'd expect. So huge challenges to come. But Liam Livingstone's come in. He hasn't even hit a run, really. But he's done damage with the ball. I didn't really see that one coming.
I think we've seen that he was going to bowl. I don't think we've seen that he was going to bowl as well as he
exactly. That's what I mean.
But when I look at this, John, a lot of Liam Livingstone's success with the ball has come down to the seamers at the other end and the pressure the seamers have put on. You run up and hit the deck hard, back of a length or in and around length, top of the stumps and bowling straight. On these surfaces, it seems to be very, very difficult, not just to hit boundaries, but to score off. There was 52 dot balls. Out of 120 balls, there was 52 dot balls in that first innings for Bangladesh. And that was largely down to Chris Wokes, Tamil Mills, Chris Jordan bowling top of the stumps and saying, boy, it's hard to score on this surface. You can't get me away. The fielders are right on top of you. England fielder like demons. They caught very, very well, and they bowled hard into length. And it was difficult to rotate the strike and manoeuvre the ball into gaps. So from that point of view, then when the spin comes on, you have to score. You've got no option as a batsman. You know, you're playing 20-20 cricket. We have to score off the spinners. They got away with Rashid in the 19th over, when Jordan possibly could have bowled it. But Livingstone cashed in when batsmen were trying to play across the line and have a go at him. And he came off, which was great. You can add Mark Wood into this equation. And all of a sudden, England have got... That's the only reason I'm saying possibly one batsman heavy. But even when I look at that and think, look, Wood comes into the equation, and who does he come in for? Well, the obvious answer is David Milan. But when you look at the surfaces that we're playing on now, David Milan batting at number three, if Butler and Roy get off to a start, and strike rate of 110, 120, holding an end and having and accumulating runs, getting 45, 50, actually could be the answer for what England need when it comes to building an innings of a 160, 170 to win a cricket match. So I just look at this side, and that's what I'm saying. I think they're a well-oiled machine where they've got all bases covered, and they're going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, just to concur with some of your points, look, Bangladesh are a touch team. You know, West Indies are all or nothing, and we saw it was nothing in the first match. Bangladesh, they are built to rotate the strike. They're built to take the singles. They're not built to clear the boundaries. They didn't either. And I'm not sure if your 52 dot ball statistic involves the dot balls that occurred when wickets were taken. If it doesn't, that's over half the deliveries, 61, including the 9 wickets. Over half the deliveries were not scored from. That is an incredible feat, even if it isn't, even if it does include the 9. But I was impressed again. And Moeen Ali taking a couple of overs, 3 overs in the power play again. I kind of assumed that wouldn't happen. It did. So a little surprise there. Although they did have one left-hander in their top two. And then Rashid brought in a little bit earlier than what we saw against West Indies.
Yeah, and I think that was just down to Rashid coming earlier, was down to the way England's seamers had created pressure and Owen Morgan's brilliant ability to read a game, knowing that the opposition are behind the run rate and who to chuck on. Well, we chuck on a spinner who can turn it both ways, and good luck hitting this one out of the park. And that, for me, is the brilliance of Owen Morgan. But Mo, again... I was chuffed a bit to get out. I'm pleased again for two guys in this group. Well, I could say three, but yeah, everybody's always pleased for Chris Wokes, the way he bowled. I thought he bowled very, very well. I didn't expect Moeen Ali to take 3 overs in a power play against an Asian side. And I thought, you know what, we might have a game on here, 10 off the first over. But he came back brilliantly with 2 for 8 off his next two, and I was really pleased for Moeen again, as well as I was for Jason Roy when he came out to bat. But when your bowlers are setting the tone in the power play, what were Bangladesh 27-3 in a power play? That's nearly game over. You're 20 runs short in a power play. All of a sudden, you're 5 runs short in the middle, and you end up being 30 runs short at the end. Again, like you mentioned right at the very start, you know, teams have gotten behind the eight ball in the contest so far since the Super 12s have started, and haven't been able to get back into the game. Never mind try and get ahead of it.
And on Milan, he was always going to be coming in, like he was padded up, ready to come in. But I just thought, you know what? It kind of makes sense him coming in once the power play's over. Could you not just have him and Bairstow padded up? If the wicket falls in the first 4 or 5 overs, 6 overs, Bairstow goes in. And if it doesn't, then Milan goes in.
Absolutely. And I think that is what I think England are thinking of now. You looked at the bench when Milan and Bairstow were in. Moeen Ali had his helmet on. Liam Livingston had his helmet on. Owen Morgan had his pads on. So I tend to think that I think Milan might, if Milan had got out, Moeen was going in. If Bairstow had got out, Livingston was going in and Morgan would have batted 7. I just think that's how flexible this side is, that they all understand the game. They're experienced cricketers. They've played countless amount of T20 games around the world in these sort of surfaces that they understand. And I think, again, going back to Morgan's leadership, I think he understands situations so well that he can put his, it's like his game of chess. He can put his pieces in the game when he needs to, and he knows for a fact he's got full confidence in which piece is going in to play and what situation of the game he needs.
Moment of the day.
So, moment of the day, Harmy. I don't mean to spring this on you, but do you know who Ruben Trumpelman is?
He is a left-arm seamer, a left-arm spinner for Namibia, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And he's just taken 3 wickets in those first 4 deliveries.
Good on him
against Scotland.
Good on him. He bowled well in the early part of the tournament, the qualifying part of the tournament. And I think he got whacked against. Did he get whacked in the last group game? But he was tipped as a very, very good option for Namibia. But Scotland lost Kyle Kurtz on the afternoon just before. And when you lose your captain in the build-up of a game, it just knocks your preparation. And I just wonder if Scotland losing Kyle Kurtz, then losing the toss, was something that they're not going to recover from.
Well, they were 2-3 at one stage. And they're now
not recovering then.
they're now 13-3. So a recovery of sorts. But when you consider they've still got to play India and Pakistan in their group, well, at least they had they had last week, didn't they? In terms of moment of the day for England or Bangladesh, anything that springs to mind?
Do you know what? I'm going to go with me little leg spinner, me little pal, Adil Rashid. I thought that catch just set England off. I just thought he set England off. Again, like I've done 2 moments of the day in the England game so far. They've both been catches, and I think both just got England off to a good footing. West Indies, Moeen Ali started him well, and then Adil Rashid taking that catch just got England going again. So for me, my moment of the day was Rashid getting England off to a good start and getting them in a position. But I've got to give it. I'll change my mind. I've got to give it to Jason Roy. If there was one person I was worried about in this batting unit, in this World Cup, on these surfaces, I'll be honest, it was Jason Roy. I thought the way he's played against spin in the recent times on these surfaces, I thought he might just be England's weak link at the top of the order. And I've listened to his man of the match presentation, and when he spoke, I had such a smile on my face thinking, yes, well done, kid, because he's saying, I've learned a lot. I've worked hard in preparation for this tournament to play against these bowlers on these surfaces because I know it was something I needed to work hard on. And that tells you everything about this England cricket team. A player like Jason Roy, who is a phenomenal hitter of a cricket ball at the top of the order, who's got you know, very, very good stats in 2020 cricket, has worked, knowing he had to work hard on a weakness part of his game, and he's actually come good right at the very start of the tournament. I think the IPL has helped him because he did well for the Sunrisers when he got in the side, and he's kicked on. So fair play. Well done, Jason Roy, today.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, then, Harmy, Australia next for England. How do you see it?
Good time to play Australia. I think Australia, it's also a good time for Australia to play England, I think, because I think Australia have got a very good side. I think they've got a well-balanced side. But I think their competition game time has been very little through the pandemic. And I think they'll get better as the tournament goes on. But you can put India in front of me for England at this moment in time, the way they're playing. And I think they'll beat anybody at this in opposition. So I can only see an England win. I really can. And it's not because I've got three lions tattooed on my chest. It's because I think the way England are playing at this moment in time, I don't think there's a team on this planet can come close to them after the way they've just performed against Bangladesh and the West Indies.
Brilliant stuff, Army. Well, look, the following on podcast, we'll be back following that game. See what we did there. As well as every other England game, as well as some of the big matches involving India. And we will see. We'll see how the games divvy themselves up. But for now, thanks for listening to the following on podcast here on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.